Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and we're on the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. So I'll go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name, for your word has told us that you don't want us to ever go back. You want us to increase more and more every day. Increase more and more in your word, that the fullness of maturity, the fullness of you, will grow up in us, and that you in us, helping us, you in us doing the work of God, you in the Father in you, can use us inside and out to make this a true church. Each one of us is supposed to be a church. And if we allow you to have your way in and through us, then we are a church of the Most High God. We praise and thank you, Lord, for it. Open every heart, soul, mind, to receive everything that you've prepared for us for this very day and before the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's start off with the King James Version. And what I'm doing is paralleling a commentary along with the King James, because some people say they don't understand what the King James is saying. All right, let's go ahead.
Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more.
Okay, now read my introduction here.
We are alive only to please God.
This is the only reason that we're alive. The only reason that we're supposed to be alive is to please God. And God gives everybody a space of time and deals everybody a portion of faith. So no one can say in the world that they were never given any faith, because everyone is dealt a portion of faith, enough to get you started. Because you look around and people always wonder, and that wonder that you have in you is of how all these things come to pass. That's the faith that God has placed in you. You know there's a God, and so therefore there's no excuse. And you know that the Bible, after you hear so much of it, is the exact truth, because all the things that the Bible says would be coming to pass has come to pass. And maybe teachers that consider themselves Bible teachers have not been proficient enough in telling you some of the things that have come to pass. But all you need to do is read the Bible and see all these end time prophecies that are happening right before your very eyes at this time. The Lord said when you see these things happening that this is the very generation in which he would be coming back to earth. Okay, so go ahead and read. So our whole purpose here, because life is so short, the only time that we have really is to serve the Lord. So that's what the whole purpose is. For us to, we were to live to serve God. So read it again.
We are alive only to please God.
Now, if you don't care about pleasing God, you're not going to find out how. The way you find out how to please God is in the Bible. That's his instruction book on what he likes, what pleases him, and what he does not like, what displeases him. And so we're required to read it if we care about God. If we care about where we're going to spend eternity, we're going to read the Bible to find out how to please God. And then when we find out, we're going to do it, or else we're going to wind up charcoal broiled eternally, even when we're still alive. There'll be no way to pass out, to faint, and there's no pharmacies down there to get pain pills. There's no way to drink. There's nothing to drink. Nothing but flames, and there's no rest, no sitting down. We're not to be lazy here, because if you are, you will not be lazy in hell, because you never stop working there. The flames keep you busy. But in heaven, if you're busy here, you can rest there for eternity. All right, now let's go on.
Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that will please God. As we have taught you, you are doing this already, and we encourage you to keep doing it more and more.
That's what King James was saying. Did you get that out of that? No. Well, then it's good that we expound. Amen.
Amen.
Read King James again. You'll see that it does what it's saying.
Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and
we beg you, brothers. Say what?
And exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please
you've
God.
You've seen us demonstrating of how to walk. You didn't just hear us, but you've seen us. You've observed us, how it is that you're supposed to walk. Then what?
And to please God, so ye would abound more and more.
Okay, now read mine again.
Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
We beg you. Urging is to beg someone, the way I see it. Because the Bible says that we are to convince the gainsayer. That means you to the point to where you beg them because you don't want their souls to go to hell. Then what?
To live in a way that will please God.
Yeah, and you watched us live in that way. How could we explain to you what way that would be if we ourselves didn't live that kind of a life in front of you? Amen?
Amen.
That's how we urged you. In this chapter before, he's telling how we worked day and night with our hands. We didn't want to be charged by any of you, that we were using you for money. And so we lived this way. And we took persecution and told you that persecution was coming to you, troubles. And we told you all these things so that you would know how to live. Then go ahead.
As we have taught you, you are doing this already.
We taught you by word and deed. Amen?
Amen.
And we saw that you were doing that already, and I sent Timotheus to you, and he brought a good report that as you were with us then, you still remain the same way. So you've been taught. You know how to live godly. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And we encourage you to keep doing it more and more.
Right, because there's more growth that's necessary in you. The Lord wants to grow up in us to his fullness, to full maturity, so that there can even be more and more done in our bodies, which is his church, the temple of God. When the Bible says that the abomination that maketh desolate is going to sit up in God's holy temple, that means that there's a lot of human beings on earth that are Christians that are going to allow the devil to come into them, God's holy temple, and begin doing the devil's works in them rather than allowing Christ to do his work in them. Because that's what the will of the Lord is that you live a life that is pleasing to God, not to Satan. You're to give no place in your vessel or outside of your vessel to Satan, to the devil. And if you do, you're not going to have a good judgment. The judgment day is coming, and it's coming very soon. Then what?
For you remember what we taught you in the name of the Lord Jesus.
You know, he said that in the other following chapter, the previous chapters, that they taught them how to go through persecution. And that they would receive persecution. And that they could have comfort in persecution. Not comfort for their body, but comfort that the ones that they had brought to the Lord are still standing. That is what comforted them. Because their comfort is in the vision that they have. They see the reward up ahead. They know that the reward is well worth whatever persecution, trials, tribulations, troubles that are happening, that are going to happen to them. And they expect it. So when it comes, there's a smile on their face, because all that live godly in Christ Jesus, everyone, A-L-L, everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus is not going to be comforting themselves in the way they, in some kind of a obnoxious lifestyle, where they just have comfortable furniture and houses and live in parks and have all kinds of recreation all day long. But the comfort is in that they are comforted by the souls that they win and are feeding so that they stand. They constantly stand. That comforted Paul. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
God wants you to be holy, so you must keep yourselves away from all sin, sexual sin.
Well, sins, all kinds of sins, and especially in these last days, sexual sins, because that's what's happening today. Just everything is, the devil knows that the sexual drive is a very strong one, and there are sexual sins like homosexuality, lesbianism, many different kinds of sins, sexual sins, adultery, fornication, and I could go on with a long number of the rest of them. And most people today know what those sins are. Lusting after a person's wife, it's adultery. Or wives lusting after some man when you're married, especially to someone godly. And go ahead.
By doing so, each one of you will be controlling your body.
Yes, if you read the line before that.
God wants you to be holy, so you must keep yourselves away from all sin, sexual sin. By doing so, each one of you will be controlling your body.
Yeah, you'll be able to control your body. If you can control your sexual thoughts, the ones that are evil, then you will be able to control your entire body. And because the Holy Spirit will give you the power to control your whole body. Okay, then what?
If we don't measure up to God's standards, we must immediately admit our failures and force ourselves to be led by His Holy Spirit.
Okay, now go into the King James up to that point.
For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
All right, so sanctification means that you're doing set aside for God and Him only. Sanctification means you're separated from the world and all the filth that's in the world. Even lascivious thinking is very bad, because then the devil starts out destroying you by taking your mind. And if you don't recognize these signs and don't confess them and repent of them, he's going to take inch by inch of you until you are no longer the Lord's. You will belong to Satan. Then go ahead.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
To possess or control your own body, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You should know how to do that, because if you don't control it to have the Lord live in it, then Satan will live in it. There's two major spiritual forces fighting for possession of your body, your mind. One is the devil, and the other one is the Lord. One is the Lord, the other one is the devil. And if you don't do what the Bible is telling you here, Satan will take your soul. And once he takes it, and once you surrender it to him, God will not care to help you any longer. Now, we are supposed to control our body, and the Holy Spirit helps us. Okay? That's what the Bible says. He will help us. He succors us. That means he helps us. Our infirmities, our weaknesses and everything. So that statement right there shows that we are to control ourselves. And if we do, then the Holy Spirit will come in and help us. And when the Holy Spirit helps you, that's real help. Amen?
Amen.
Because God is a spirit, and there isn't anything that's gotten by power or might, but it's all by his spirit. If he sees you keeping his commandments and fighting the good fight of faith, when a thought of homosexuality, lesbianism, fornication, adultery, any of sexual promiscuity or lasciviousness, thinking of sexual things with other people. I've had many people confess to me that while they're having relationships with their spouse, they would be thinking of some other woman or some other man. And that is committing. In your mind, Satan is causing you to commit adultery on your spouse. So you have to come against those things, and just, that's fighting the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
You have to pull down these strongholds that are in your mind, that Satan is bombarding you with in your mind. And control yourself so that the Lord will help you do it. Amen?
Amen.
And then you'll have the victory, and we have to be consistent with that until the end. Well, some people, you know, when you tell them things like this, they look real sad because they don't think they can do that. They just don't have faith in the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to open up all the graves and pull everybody out of those graves. That should give you faith enough to believe that God can, if you're fighting evil thoughts hitting your mind, and don't say that they don't, because Satan hits everybody that way. So don't think or say that God can't, if you're trying, cannot help you overcome whatever your problem is mentally and spiritually. Because these are just thoughts from Satan. You don't have to obey them at all. If you do, you're just giving him permission to rape your mind or you. And pretty soon devils will be taking hold on you, and you won't be able to control anything because you've given yourself over to evil spirits. You see people mumbling to themselves, talking to themselves, or you see perverts that can't stop from killing, or they are such sinners that they want to go and kill every prostitute in the world instead of winning their souls, because they hate anything. They hate women because they hate their sexuality, that they like sex. And they want to kill them because they feel that they're pigs. Dirty, filthy pigs. How do I know these things? Susie used to have those detective magazines all the time, and she'd tell me different things out of them. That's what these thoughts were in these people's minds. They would say, we hate women because they're filthy, and they are, that's all they think about is filth and sex and degenerate. They're degenerates. And men are the same way. But it's because they're not fighting against these thoughts. They're not keeping their mind stayed on the Lord. So there's no power from the word of the Lord to overcome the way they're being bombarded by Satan. After you overcome, then this pull, the hold that Satan gets on people's minds, becomes so weak that you're not bothered anymore. The only thing that bothers you from then on is a lot of people that are around you, because the Lord will, this devil will just aggravate you through the weaklings that are living around you. You've overcome your mind, and the devil's bombarding it. You've overcome sin, Satan, the things of this world. You've overcome death, hell, and the grave, because you know the Lord's Spirit is in you. But there's people that are weaklings around you, filthy weaklings that do not fight Satan at all. And they think they're smart. But not only are they stupid, but they're weak. Weak, like women. Weak women. They don't fight. Not every woman is weak, but there's some women that are strong. The Lord says they're the weaker vessel, and so the man is supposed to keep bombarding them with the word of the Lord so that they stay strong. Only the Spirit of the Lord is able to keep them strong. Anybody, man or woman. But these guys go out, they just cruise the streets looking for whores. They pick them up, and then they have their way with them, and then kill them, because they say these women are causing men to sin and their souls to go to hell. And you see stories where they chop their heads off and their hands and just dissect their entire bodies. You've heard of that, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, this goes on all the time. So much so that, and they're just as loose as can be, these females. And there's a lot of guys that hate that because they don't want to be tempted. And they figure, well, if I can get rid of all these whores. But rather than do that, the Lord wants us to witness to him. Amen?
Amen.
They say that Mary Magdalene was not a whore, that she was a good woman. That's what these History Channel tells you, and so on and so forth. But the Bible says that the Lord cast many demons out of her. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm sure one of them was a prostitute. Amen?
Amen.
What other kind of demons? Lesbian? Yes, probably that too. Lots of demons. But the Apostle Paul here is saying, we've taught you how to live right, how to please God. The Bible tells you how to please God. But you're obstinate. The Word of God doesn't mean anything. You just think, as you've been told, that it's old and so on and so forth. Well, if it's old, then why are all the prophecies of the end time coming to pass? One of the very last ones is, you see the great falling away from the church. Of the church. That means Satan is sitting down in many born-again Christians, and they're not born again anymore. They've turned to be an antichrist. You've seen the earthquakes, the wars and rumors of wars. You've see all the different things. Pestilence, which is the AIDS virus. It's the worst pestilence that has ever hit the earth before. One out of three, sometimes people are saying one out of two people in Africa have AIDS and they're going to die from it. And a lot of people today are saying one out of every four in the United States and all over the world. Sometimes in China, it's one out of two, one out of three people have AIDS. There's Ebola, there's tuberculosis is on the rise. And then there's starvation, famines. And now, the abomination that maketh desolate. In other words, the house of God is being made desolate by this abomination, this satanic antichrist spirit of the false prophet, the antichrist. The man of perdition is setting himself up in the holy temple of God, which are born again Christians, and it's a great falling away. And because of the fact that Satan is so deceptive and cunning, he doesn't want people to think that there's a big falling away, because he wants to be in darkness like he is. So he's disguised the great falling away by having a revival. And you look at the TV and these churches are just packed out. But listen, why? You listen to these false prophets preaching, and a lot of them were born again at one time. And they know how to preach the gospel with expertise. They really know how to preach it. And then all of a sudden they say, God wants us to have fun. God wants us to not be that worried. He understands our weaknesses. And all. Yes, God does understand our weaknesses. That's why he wants to live in us, so that we'll be strong. He keeps telling us that we have to increase in his power more and more in order to mature. And they're telling us that God wants us to have fun. And that is the great falling away, because the people love to hear those smooth things. Oh my God, God wants us to have fun and to be very rich and to be comfortable, when in reality he wants us to carry a cross. Amen?
Amen.
And to deny ourselves. He doesn't want us to have everything unless you're going to use finances that are sent in for the Lord. But he doesn't want us to just pamper ourselves. This is not carrying the cross. And I've explained that more and more, and in this next newsletter I'll explain it even more to you. And then they say that God loves you unconditionally. It doesn't matter what you do, he's just going to love you, when the Bible says that very few people will make it into the kingdom of heaven. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few people, very few, shall enter therein. But wide is the way to destruction, to hell. And many people are going there. Because the problem is they're listening to their flesh, and they're listening to false prophets. The false prophets makes you listen to your flesh. They encourage you to listen to your flesh. When the Lord tells you, he wants you to be led by his Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now where are you at now?
King James.
All right.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
In holiness and in honor. Sanctification is keeping yourself holy, separated from the world. Now, if you're supposed to just have fun and they're sending people back into the world, go out into the world. Get into every aspect of life. Even whorehouses, or being a pimp again, Just get in there, and that way you'll be a good testimony. No, the Lord says the good testimony is to get totally out of the world. Amen?
Amen.
To go and witness to them, but not to get in with them. And to run with them into excess. Okay, then what?
Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God.
So the meaning of concupiscence is what?
Ardent desire, hence sexual lust. Desire for that which is agreeable, especially to the senses. In scholastic philosophy, any longing of the soul for what will give it delight, strong desire.
Right, and so you see motion pictures and magazines overstimulating people with sexual perversions of all kinds. And what that does is it's like demons that have conjured these things together that leap right on people. And so people are looking at that sort of stuff, and as I said before, we're like computers, and whatever you put into your computer is there. So if you turn your eyes away from that sort of thing, as the Bible tells you to, and flee from the very appearance of evil, and get into the Word of God, put your eyes on Jesus, the Word of who is the Word of God, then any time that you feel these strong desires, sexual desires and so on, then what will happen is that the Lord will fill those up with His power, and that's how you overcome. That's how you're able to live the kind of life that the Apostle Paul lived, the kind of life that before him the prophets and Jesus lived, because they realized the magnitude of fear of the Lord came upon them so strong that they knew there was going to be a judgment. They know that there's a heaven and a hell, because God showed it to them, and they didn't want anything like a filthy sex desire or a weak and beggarly sex desire or anything that would be overpower them, like lesbianism or homosexuality or fornication, or you see somebody that you like their looks. And what is the looks anyway, if it's you like this son of David liked the looks of one of his sisters, and he went in and raped her, and then after he raped her, she wasn't as good as she looked. He didn't really want her. And then he had to get killed. One of the other brothers killed him because he raped his sister. She wasn't as hot as he thought. And I'll guarantee you, nobody's that hot as you thought. And you'll not think so when your soul is roasting in hell. So we have to get our bodies under control. Amen?
Amen.
We have to get our minds under control if we want to go to heaven. It's just a simple thing. Well, Lord, you know, you made us, and you know we were weak. Yes, and Jesus will tell you that I was right there to enter you, but you had your mind on Satan rather than on me. I told you in my word, if you'd put your eyes on me and meditate upon my word day, both day and night, that there would be nothing. You'd be more than conquerors. There wouldn't be anything that could conquer you. All right? Or your thoughts. Or your desires, these strong desires. Because I am stronger than any of your strong desires. Don't you believe that He is?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Some people have these artificial things that they use to, if they don't have a man or a woman in the, what a horrible thing. It's like pieces of plastic that they use to gratify themselves. A bunch of sickos to go to hell over a piece of vibrating plastic. Amen?
Amen.
Rather than to hang on to the Lord and His precious word, His powerful word, and just walk, just turn your head from that, just flee from that very appearance of that or the very thought of it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, onward, ho.
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter.
Right, that means... Okay, read what I said. You gotta get to that point.
We must change, and we are able to change, to do what He commands us to do by His power in us.
Yeah, by the power in His word in us. Then what?
As we trust God's power to change us, we will be able to see the life of Christ maturing, growing in our lives.
Yeah, you'll see it yourself. and people will see it as well. Then what else?
When you are controlling your body, you will be living a holy life with honor, not in lustful passion as the pagans, the heathen, the Gentiles do in their ignorance of God and his law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, you can tell the ones that are the pagans, the Gentiles, the Canaanites, all these people, they stand up as if no one else can wiggle, and they wiggle their bottoms at you and everything else. I mean, you see it down the street, and they wear mini skirts like nobody else has what they have, you know, and so they just want to make sure that you really get the point, you know. Huh? Do you get it, you know? Look at here, you know. Just look at my wonderful looking legs. Or whatever. And maybe the person that's wearing, you know, fully clad has got legs that are 100,000 times better than theirs, you know? I mean, they think they got something that nobody else has got. And some of them are so jacked up looking that, I mean, to me, it turns my stomach to look at them. Tell them I'll pay you $50 to cover up. You know? All right, then what?
When you are controlling your body, you will be living a holy life with honor, not in lustful passion as the pagans, the heathen, the Gentiles do, in their ignorance of God and his law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Never con or cheat a fellow Christian in any way.
Right. Now, I did that once with that, and I told you that's when the Lord made me. And I did it because it was just a common practice in the world, you know, and the record is that somebody wants to do a custom session. That means they're not under contract with you or anything. They come in and say, I want to make a record. That's what we call a custom session. And I've got $5,000, and they wave it at you, and so you're going to do a real cheap session with them for about $1,000 and stick the $4,000 in your pocket. Well, I'd just been saved, and I didn't realize any better than that. And so I took the whole amount and took them into a very cheap studio, and even before the session. And the Lord told me that I had to fast until the session was over, and it wasn't over for around 30, 40 days. Well, and I had to eat no food and drink no water. And it was a lesson that you never want to learn. And the Lord had when I went one night, I was hearing from the devil, and I thought it was the Lord because I was so young in the Lord. And I said, I didn't know for sure whether it was the devil or not, but I wanted it to be the Lord. So I started walking towards the sink in the kitchen, and as I had bare feet, and I was heading for the sink, and a mouse ran right across the top of the back of the splashboard on the sink. And then I said, well, there was a fire outside, and a lot of mice ran inside the house. And I had traps set all over the place. I was going after them like Frank Buck. Frank Buck was a very famous African trapper. He trapped lions and everything else. And then I started walking, and I said, Lord, if this is not right, if this is not you, do something that I will not be able to drink, because I don't want to go to hell. And I know you told me if I drink, because I cheated a brother, then just do something that will stop me. And all of a sudden, this light was on over the sink. It had like a little seashell around the light bulb. And this thing was lit, and it was lit and flew off the wall, lit and landed right in front of my feet and shattered the glass seashell type thing, and the bulb busted into like many pieces. And with my bare feet, I couldn't walk closer to the sink. And that really brings home this scripture right here. But defrauding your brother is also flirting with their wife, trying to take their wife away from them. That's defrauding your brother, or trying to go after somebody's husband. The wife, primarily, that's adultery, okay? If you're going after somebody else's wife. Okay, now keep going.
Never con or cheat a fellow Christian in any way, even in such a way that would take his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before.
So God wanted to send my soul to hell, but he said my option would be that I fast until the session is over. But I just narrowly escaped hell on that one. Don't ever cheat or con or defraud your brother or sister. Don't ever do that. Because you have me as an example of what I wrote a tract on it called Biting the Bullet. I had to bite the bullet and go through that fast, and I was so thirsty. Before the fast started, we were at a Holiday Inn, Beverly Hills, which is a very plush Holiday Inn. It's not like the other ones. And this big goblet of water, ice cold water, full of ice cubes and everything, they gave to us this very fancy big menu, tablecloth and everything. And there was such wonderful things on the menu, and the Lord said, If you drink or eat anything until that session is over, I'll kill you and you'll go to hell. Okay? Now I know the reality of the Lord. I know him. And just when I thought maybe he had changed his mind, God doesn't change his mind, okay? Not with all this stuff. Promiscuity, cheating, conning somebody. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why I was going through this. What did I do that was so wrong? You know, I've been doing this all my life. You know? He doesn't care what your bad habits are. He wants you to get rid of them. He wants you to change. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be the same. He wants you to be like him. He didn't come. He came to, he wants us to feed the sheep, not fleece them. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't want you to take their hide. He wants you to feed them so that they got more hide. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of difference. Okay, keep going.
God has called us to be holy and not to live unclean lives, but to live lives of holiness.
Okay, now read it from the King James up to that point.
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter.
Yeah, beyond the Word of God. Don't go beyond the Word of God and defraud or cheat or con your brother. Don't take his wife. Some guy's got a wife out there and she starts liking me or something. I can't do that. Amen?
Amen.
That's a brother's wife, not mine. If I was single, you know, well, I just like her so much. Just like Ray Kroc, the owner of McDonald's. You know, there was a man that had bought several franchises of McDonald's, and they had a big convention, and here they all come, and the guy brings his wife there with him. And so Ray Kroc says, I want her for my wife. That's somebody else's wife, but I want her. And I'm the one with the big bucks. And so I want her to sit next to me at the dinner table. And I want her to come up after the party here up to my apartment with some of my choice friends. And so when he went up there, he gave the man that was the husband of this woman, he says, I'm buying you out. So he bought all of his franchises back, and he says, and I'm taking your wife. I'll show you who the big guy is. Now his wife has got the whole fortune. And she went along with the program. And he's dead. He's died years ago. And if he didn't get saved, he's for sure in hell. Okay? Then what?
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such.
And believe me, he will avenge. He will avenge. Okay, what else?
As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
Okay, now go up to that point in line.
Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying man's rules, but they are rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. but I don't need to write to you about...
Okay, now back in the King James.
But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Okay, now mine.
But I don't need to write to you about the love Christians are to have one to another, for God himself has taught you to love one another.
And next, King James.
And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more.
Okay, then read mine.
For sure your love is already strong toward all Christians in all of Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we beg you to love them more and more.
Right, to love more and more. He wants you to grow more and more. He wants you to show the actual love of God, which is to keep the commandments so that they will follow suit, because people are like monkeys. Monkey see, monkey do. Amen?
Amen.
You see somebody sinning, and well, do you feel that that gives you a right to sin? Or you see somebody lying and so on, so that you think that gives you the right to lie, which is sin. Or you don't report things because other people don't. You're patterning yourself after people, sweaty, sweaty people, instead of after the Lord. And you're going to pay for it. Because the Lord's word doesn't mean anything to you. Your little girlfriend or boyfriend is what means something to you. You're patterning your life after weakness, not power. Then what?
God wants this to be your ambition, to live a quiet life, minding your own business, which is the Lord. And
well, your business is the Lord. Okay. God wants you to mind your own business. Well, what is the business of a man that owns a McDonald's? It's the hamburger business, isn't it?
Yes.
So if you're a Christian, minding your own business is the God business. Amen?
Amen.
That doesn't mean, some people say, mind your own business. They mean, shut up. That isn't what the Apostle Paul is saying here, shut up. He says, mind your godly business. Be sure that you're doing everything that we taught you. It doesn't mean, shut up. If Buster's going to tell me, you know, if I tell him, mind your own business, I'm talking about his furniture store, okay? Now make sure that you order enough stuff in your store for Christmas. Stock up, because there's going to be a lot of people coming in there to buy your stuff, and if you can't sell out of an empty basket, right? So fill your store up to the capacity, to the bombacity. Make sure that you got tables and chairs and dinettes and all kinds of stuff stacked from the floor to the ceiling. Mind your business. Okay, well, all these instructions are your business to mind, to pay attention to. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And working with your hands, just as we have commanded you before.
Okay, now get to that point, King James.
And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands.
As yeah, don't be rioting, you know, in the world. Be quiet and be about the Lord's business. Amen?
Amen.
Your business is the Lord's business. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
So that you won't be conning people that are unsaved, those that are without, people that are not yet Christians. Amen?
Amen.
They'll see the honesty in you, the Christianity, the God in you, and they'll admire you. And there's a strong possibility that they get saved too. Okay, then read up to that point in mind.
And if you walk honestly, not hypocritically, this will be the result. The people in the world who are not Christians will see God in you, and they will respect you. I mean the way you live, and you will not need to depend on anyone to meet your money needs, your financial needs.
Right. If you do everything the Lord says, he'll send the finances in. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll send them in abundantly. If you're not doing what the Lord says, you're going to have leanness. Amen?
Amen.
But you'll have fatness, he promises, if you do everything that he says to do. Amen?
Amen.
So you can't outfox the Lord. You try to do things different than he says, and he's going to put the squeeze on you. if you know what that means. He's going to cut your food off, your finances. You're going to be worried about how to pay bills. And most of the divorces today are caused because of a lack of money. Boy, you should see husbands and wives fighting. Say, why don't you go get a job? I mean, we can't pay the bills. He's some kind of a punk or something. Man, you see your kids over there, they're hungry. Now go get something to eat in this house. Well, honey, I try the best I can. She comes back, that ain't good enough. When all the time, just keep the commandments of the Lord, you won't have to worry about any financial needs. Amen?
Amen.
Somehow God always provides, right?
Amen.
When he sees you striving, and when he sees all the people in the church striving, when they're reading the word and they're getting this kind of direction from him and they comply, they allow the Spirit of the Lord in them to mold up and to begin growing up in them to where they're paying attention to what they're doing during the day, then you're going to prosper more and more. Dearly beloved, I would that you prosper as your souls prosper. Amen?
Amen.
Forget about prosperity. He doesn't want us to be worried about our bills. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't really want us to go out and get loans. He wants us to lend, not borrow. Amen?
Amen.
But when everything's right with the Lord, I just realized not too long ago that the people in the church were not reading the Bible. And I just wondered from the Lord, what in the world should I do about it? He says, you read the Bible to them. Because they don't know what they're reading anyway. And so I said, oh, all right. So here I am, and all of a sudden things start changing, didn't they?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Quite a bit too, huh?
Amen.
So I know the right path to be on. When I do what the Lord says, and when you do what the Lord says, everything's going to change for you too. You may be a weakling, but your spirit is going to be, the Spirit of the Lord in you is going to be strong and strengthen your spirit to be strong. It happens every time. And it happens immediately. You don't have to wait around. Oh, you know, some people get so tired of waiting. They say they're waiting, but they're really not doing what the Lord said. And that's why you hear so many complaints. Well, the Lord's got me on hold. I call up there, but he just says, you know, I'm going to put you on hold. Or, not now, later. No. If you're doing what the Lord says, he has to do what he says, and it's right away. Amen?
Amen.
You see that, don't you?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. Go ahead. King James. Okay.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Okay, now what happened over there? You know what this is, what he's talking about? Okay, some of these people that are in Thessalonica, their loved ones and some of their friends died. They went to sleep in the Lord. And they're like sorrowing very badly. And so he's trying to encourage them with the word of God, the truth, to where they don't sorrow anymore. So read that again.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep.
That are asleep, the ones that went on before you did. Maybe your mother, dad, maybe your brother's sister, maybe your wife or husband, maybe your child died, and they're just full of sorrow. And then through this persecution, many of them were killed. And they're like sorrowing. It's like grief. Okay, so go ahead.
That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
Just like as others, the Gentiles that have no hope, the others, we are the ones not to suffer, like the others do, the unsaved, the ones that are not Christians do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Okay, now read up to that point in mind.
Have faith and hope for resurrection. And now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know what is going to happen to the Christians who have died, so you will not be full of sorrow. for your family and friends who were saved and have already gone on to be with the Lord. So you will not be full of sorrow like the unsaved people who have no hope.
See, you understand it better now?
Yes.
The others are the unsaved people, the non-Christians that have no hope. Then what?
You are saved by faith. And if we believe that Jesus died and was resurrected to life again, we will also believe that when Jesus comes back to earth, all those who have been sleeping in Jesus will God bring back with him, which means all the Christians who have died in the past.
Right. Yeah, all the people that were persecuted and killed during the big persecution here, and that you people have stood through. And you were willing to suffer persecution in order to get to heaven, to have eternal life. And I just want to encourage your heart to let you know that all of those that went on before you are going to come back, you know, with Jesus. They're asleep in Jesus right now. Is there something wrong with being asleep in Jesus? Amen. That's fine, isn't it?
Yes.
There isn't anything wrong with that. See? No. Wonderful truth in Jesus. Sleeping in space. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's like being a much better than being on the Lord's ark because it's like anything. Quiet. But in Jesus, there's none of that, you know. The faith in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So read that again.
You are saved by faith. And if we believe that Jesus died and was resurrected to life again, we will also believe that when Jesus comes back to earth, all those who have been sleeping in Jesus will God bring back with him, which means all the Christians who have died in the past. For what I am about to tell you, I got straight and direct from the Lord himself.
Read that. We'll just start over here in the King James and then bring it to that point. And then we'll start there.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
Okay, now do you know what that means? No, you don't. They're shaking their heads. No. Okay, well, read what I think.
For what I am about to tell you, I got straight and direct from the Lord himself.
I got this direct from God. God just told me this. That's what he's saying. Now listen to me clearly. I just got this direct from God. From him to me and nobody else. And I'm passing on to you. What is that?
That we which are still living when the Lord returns will not rise to meet him ahead of those who are in their graves.
Ah, we're not going to go ahead of them because the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen?
Amen.
God's going to open their graves first. So if we're alive here on earth, we're not going to expect, we're going to see them all shooting up into the air. Amen?
Amen.
So we're not going ahead of them. Okay, then go ahead.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud, blasting shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Then the first thing that will happen will be all the Christians who have died in the past will rise from the dead and come out of their graves.
Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
That's first, and that's easy to understand, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's what we were saying when he said, no, I don't understand what it means. All right? Then what?
And then we all together with them, we who are still alive and are remaining on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with him forever. So comfort and encourage one another with these words.
Okay, now read it from the King James, so now that they understand.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Okay, so we're not going ahead of them if we're alive here on earth. The dead. So your loved ones, and all those loved ones, your friend, family and friends, are going to rise first. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So if we're meeting God in the air, they're coming with him because they were asleep in him. And we're meeting them. We're going to meet them in the air, in the clouds. And there's going to be a mighty rejoicing then. Amen?
Amen.
Dad, mom, you know, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, my friend, all of us together. Amen? Isn't that nice?
Amen.
So go ahead.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
See, it's so easy to understand, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is that what I said?
Yes.
All right. Yes. What else?
To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that is chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to do the last chapter, chapter 5. Lord bless you today.